Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Because I don't know if I'm on a different computer. This one used to mess up sometimes. My real computer is in repair right now. And I don't know where the real me is. I'll probably never know. If as soon as I know, I'll be wrong.
Be found because the real you is the finder.
Yeah. And that, but then, yeah, then there'll be no question as to who I am, right? Or, well, if you want to call it who.
The end of all things being discarded, there you are. Where all experience ends, there you are.
Sometimes I think that's a who is still like a concept, so it's still a little bit off by calling it.
And the only way that there could be any knowingness is within the bubble of illusion. There's just the sense of presence basically is the last thing you can know. And the first thing that was known and that created this whole thing. I exist as something, then this and this whole world. Spontaneously, very you, just like when you lay down and sleep at night, you create an entire dream world. Sense of existence mixes, and boom, dream world created, populated by little beings, and you identify with a body form.
So I guess whether I know who or not is only a issue for
Well, it's self-evident. There's no need to know. Self-evidence is without the faculty of knowing or having any knowledge. That's why Maharaj says, no knowledge is knowledge. It's self-evident. You sit here in meditation, you start to feel the subtle sense of presence, and that'll entertain you for a long time. That's that spiritual intoxication. Whoa, this is very nice. And hopefully that'll get you to try and sit in meditation with yourself a little bit more. I don't mean sitting like physically sitting, but sitting with meditation. Oh, okay. So that I, and as you continue that, then it's known. Oh, this sense of presence. It's known. It can't be myself, but it's actually the doorway for, oh, I exist as something, or I exist, but the sense of existence has appeared. And this is why Nisargadatta Maharaj says it just clicks. The I am teaches you everything you need to know. By remaining with that sense of presence, that sense of I am, that's it. It's over. Because now you know, oh, I know this sense of presence. I'm more subtle than the sense of presence. And then there's nothing. And that's where it like settles down, it quiets. You're no longer flowing along with mind because you really have no like vested interest in the illusion as trying to get something out of the illusion because it's illusion. Just like if you were to be in your dream and know you're dreaming, you're not going to try to wrestle anything out of it. When you wake up in the next morning, if you were dreaming you were a rock star millionaire, you wake up, oh, nope, back to real life. But you don't try to be like, oh, I got to get back and get that stuff. No, because it was illusion. It was a dream.
Yeah, I guess when I sensed that, I realized that that stuff in the illusory stuff is not satisfying. It doesn't really have any
Oops.
the value that it pro think that that we normally give it. It doesn't really have that value.
Correct. And when you know yourself in a real sense, you understand this body was an instrument to know myself. And now that's what it is. Now, at the same time, it's going to continue to go through whatever it goes through, but you are not that. The body is within you. You are not within it.
And it's set that's satisfactory. It's satisfactory that it is that way.
Yeah, because you stop flowing along with mind and stop disturbing your peace. Because
Because I was,
you're not going to flow along with mind if you're seeing the reality.
yeah, I
And
was
if you
gonna have,
do, it'll be very quickly reset.
yeah.
But meditation is required. That conviction should be there so much so that you're being tortured and you know, oh, I know myself in a real sense. Yes, there's a lot of physical pain going on, but truly, there's just a knowingness that it's not my own self.
Yeah, at that point, I see myself, everything. I was starting to get that. I was reading in kind or ab, the absolute the book on consciousness in the absolute. Is that what it's called?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And the one guy was saying that he was telling Nisargadatta that he sees him. I see. He sees I am everywhere. And then Nisargadatta told him that, well, if that's true, then you need nothing more from me or whatever. And I was getting that yesterday, or sometimes I get that. But yesterday was really strong. And yeah, you just see I am is all there is, kind of like. It's like there's nothing else.
Yeah, you identify with the sense of presence. It throws away the world. Because the sense of presence, of course, it's formless. You can't sit there and say, oh, because now that becomes the object of awareness, so to speak, the sense of presence. And you know then that the entire world appears on presence. And so all of this that you're seeing and all the activities and all that are occurring within that formlessness that you are. And the conviction is, oh, so that I am that. And even then, as you're identified with the sense of presence, mind stops because you're like not interacting and engaging with the world as if it was something that was really important, other than do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. But then that's when Nisargadatta Maharaj says the I am sort of teaches you everything you need to know. What you need to know if you've identified with the sense of presence is that you're the knower of the sense of presence, more subtle than the presence itself. And whether presence is or is not, you are. Presence removes the idea of birth, death, concepts of family, concepts of any kind of knowledge to be learned in books or to be one guru might be better than another guru or the spiritual journey. All of that is eliminated immediately. With the identification with the sense of presence as your own self. And then more subtly, presence is eliminated because whether presence is or is not, the one to whom presence has appeared is. And that is your own self, ultimate truth, the last destination. And
Yeah.
that's it. Boom. Ta-da, you're realized.
Because I was gonna think, I was just thinking before we got on that presence is the one thing that can't not be, because it wouldn't be presence if it wasn't present, if it wasn't present.
There be no knowing of presence. Without this body form, presence is not knowable. The body allows you to sort of dip your cup into the nectar of immortality and slowly sip on the sense of presence. And the body is the food for presence. Why? Because if you don't feed and water it, then this body is no more. And the sense of presence cannot be sensed through this body form because the instrument is no longer available.
Yeah, yet the one that is real doesn't depend on presence.
Correct. Presence has appeared. The sense of existence has appeared to that which existed. Knock, knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there. Somebody had to be there to say nobody's there. You had to be there in order for presence to appear. The sense of presence. I am. I exist.
So you know
There
you
had to
are.
be one that existed.
So you know you are then.
Of course. And you know you never cannot be, because whether presence is there or not, that to whom presence has appeared is. Otherwise, presence couldn't appear. If there was nothing there prior to the sense of presence, how the sense of presence is known? Yes, you are the knower. Sense of presence is no more. There's a knower there, but without any knowledge and without any faculty of knowing. And that's your natural state. And that's how you are all right now when you're not like kind of, you have to really conceptualize and identify with a body form and try to get the concept of individuality and my life and I'm living this life. Because even what we're speaking about when you say presence and non-presence, we know. We've seen people die, gone to funerals and such. This body, when it falls, all these other bodies, the sense of presence is still there viewing them. They can come to the funeral and look at the dead body. Oh, very sad. John has passed. But the presence that's within that body is the same as the presence that was occupying the other body, because all the bodies are within that you are.
So all this stuff about the world seeming to be real is just a sham.
It seems to be real because you identify with a form, you see other forms. If you identify as formlessness, you know all forms are within yourself. So they really, okay, how can they affect you? They cannot.
No being to it, to
But
the
in a dream, you're one of the forms within the forms. You could get in a fight, some other form could punch you, right? So they can interact and appear to be separate and even act against each other,
Yeah.
like conflict. However, you wake up and that one punching you, how was he separate? Did someone like inject themselves in your dream and give you a punch? Oh. And yet you could dream that you were fighting. You could dream you're swimming and wake up not wet. You can dream you're flying and yet never left. And you know all this is illusion when you wake up on the other side. Oh, it was just a dream. And when you know yourself in a real sense, all of this, the spiritual journey, going to the guru, the years of reading, the years of meditating, the everything, my wife, my son, my father, mother, brother, aunt, cousin, all of this is within that bubble of illusion. Just the same as a dream. I know myself in a real sense. It was just a long dream. Because I had identified with the body for a time. I was a form in a world, seeing other forms and assuming that they were separate from myself. Because it's natural. Like if I see someone else, so to speak, if I'm a someone, I'm going to see another someone. Oh, and that's why the fear of other people, it cannot be, because you know, oh, everything is occurring within myself. Now, that doesn't mean that within the bubble of illusion, you won't get robbed or you won't, get hit by a car or be in a car accident or have to go to the hospital or the doctor diagnoses you with some terrible disease. That doesn't mean that that won't happen. Oh, because I know myself in a real sense, I'm immune to these normal everyday things within the illusion. No, as long as you're holding a body, the illusory effects are going to be experienced by this instance. This local identification.
But the effects are not you, though, right?
Well, you know, once you know yourself in a real sense, okay, this body's going through this thing. But it's the same as in a dream. When you woke up on the other side, oh, it looked very scary and very terrible, but you wake up. And when you know yourself in a real sense, no matter what's happening in this body-based existence that you're appearing to experience and interact with, it's not you. It has no effect on you. The entire world explodes. 8 billion, or however many people are on the planet, all the people on the planet gone in an instant, just explosion. And it doesn't affect you in the least.
And there's no, we talk about being human beings. It's not that there's human beings, there's just one being that is all humans, but it's
Yeah,
the
the
humans.
consciousness just takes on various forms. When I say takes on, the five elemental goo is created, and the consciousness is, oh, I exist as this thing. Because there's a faculty of knowing. And knowingness is very alive and vibrant. Phew! Oh, now I know something. I know I exist. I know so many things. I am here. Look at me.
You identify interest in it, and then it seems
Well,
real.
that comes from the identification with mom and dad and a stamp of John or a stamp of Keith. That's like the individualization being impressed in a huge compressor. And because the knowingness is still very kind of what the hell's going on, now the stamp is put, and John does good things, John does not so good things. Hooray, John. John, this is your mom. John, this is your dad. As you grow up, John, this is the world. This is this. The child says, oh, is this, why is the sky blue? Why is this? Why is that? There's curiosity because now I'm impressing the fact that I am a small little creature in this big, large world.
So you're making like a big deal out of things when really you're limiting yourself so much by making a big deal, you're actually limiting yourself.
And all the other bodies around you are also believing themselves to be separate. That's the key to illusion. I am somebody else. If I am somebody else, then you are somebody else. If I'm nobody, you're nobody. If I'm not identified with a body form, how in the world can I believe that you're somebody?
That's the sense of subject and object. They're both subject and object are objectifications, as if to be other than you, yourself, your real self.
You're no longer confined or compressed to a limited identification of I am a body in a world, seeing other people.
So subject and object loses its meaning, its sense. It loses its sense.
You lose the sense that like you're not constantly thinking about this body.
Yeah, right. Can't.
You're not oh, this is me. I have to protect it. I have to do these things. Of course, a lot of that will come naturally. If it's cold, you put a coat. If it's raining, you wear an umbrella. Or not wear, you hold an umbrella, whatever you do with umbrellas. And such like this. If it's very sunny and you're at the beach, you put sunscreen lotion on. You brush your teeth, you shower, you eat, you sleep, you drink. And this is all for the body, but none of it has to do with an identification. I don't have to take a drink as John or try to figure out how to take a drink. Food, there can be preference, but it's not a big deal. Oh, I prefer this to this. Okay.
My mother always had the impression that people had to be taught. She was a beautiful woman. She selfless in so many ways, but she still had that idea that goodness had to be taught in order to get people to act civilly. And I never did agree
If
with that.
you know yourself in a real sense, you're not going to attack others because there are no others.
Yeah.
It just won't be in you. You just, I don't know. It's,
I've always had like an innate kindness. I could never stand to see anybody else feel bad in any way. I just was always, well, although, maybe not all the time. Of course, I had my periods when I wished evil on others, but in large part, my sense of being was, I it bothered me to see.
you're better than the bubble of illusion. You can be a bank robber and a murderer and know yourself in a real sense.
I guess so.
Seriously, body-based existence has nothing to do. That's
Yeah,
why Maharaj says your family life, your material life, none of this has anything to do with knowing yourself in a real sense.
actually, yesterday I was thinking about that in the like in the Second World War, there was a certain amount of Buddhists that were they were willing to kill, and then I also recognized, although I was feeling very strong oneness, that I realized that the mental part of me would still be able to actually do you or would be willing to kill others because it doesn't have a sense of caring or something. There's something about
See, the
the
sense of
mental.
doership, again, we're going back. Now we go to Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna, you're going to do battle. Don't take any egoistic of being some great warrior, but do what's in front of you and move on. Don't take the ownership or the doership. All the people on the battlefield are already dead. It's the same thing. So if you sit there and you say, oh, I have the capacity, there is a, then a you having the capacity to do. There's no doership, there's no deed, you are formless presence. However, this existence is manifesting for you is as it is, but it's not you. Even in the moment, making decisions, decisions are largely based on just conditioned. If you had grown up in a jungle where cannibalism was acceptable, then that's feed the body, is kill and eat somebody. And yet in America or in Europe, we would say, oh, that is a very terrible thing. But again, it's based on there's no good, no bad, because you know yourself in a real sense. And that's not an egoistic thing where you can say, oh, I can be a horrible person and still be okay. Because if you're a horrible person and you're trying to be a horrible person, then you're identified with a body form as a person with the doership of being horrible. And that is not the conviction that I am that. It's a tricky thing when you start to use body-based and mental concepts to try and explain the reality, because the reality is just the reality. And all you can do is just point there. If we start going down, that's why if you start talking too much about spirituality with somebody who's adamant about using the correct words and, the phrases and all this sort of stuff, it's just pressuring body, 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 body. And then I'm right, you're wrong. This is this, this is that. And that's why Maharaj says, this master says like this master says like that, which is true. And neither is true, neither is false. It is the fact that they're impressing reality. Know yourself in a real sense. All masters cut down whatever they're saying. It is know yourself in a real sense. Everything has appeared to you. You are that. You cannot know yourself. You can only know what is other than yourself. And the first faculty of knowing is I am, I exist. So you don't get involved in religion. Again, a worldly thing. Maharaj cuts it very simply. He says, when you came across with religion, prior to being this, did you know about, excuse me, any religion? Did you know about Hindu or Muslim or Buddhist or Christian or whatever other kind of religion there, Jewish? I guess is another one. Did you know anything? No. Came along with the body. You are not body. Therefore, religion does not apply to you. If you want to limit yourself and drop down into the body form, then of course, all these things are there.
It's
But if
hard.
you know yourself in a real sense without body form and without the faculty of mind, ego, intellect, no concept can stick.
It's hard to relate to that term prior to beingness until you actually are there, kind of
Well,
close.
beingness is the sense of existence that has appeared to you. I am my being. I exist. Prior to the sense of existence, that's you. That's why Maharaj says, prior to beingness, you are. After beingness, you are. In between, there is the bubble of illusion. Something came out of nothing and dissolves back into nothing. Because something is an appearance for a time. We could say it 100 million different ways. The idea is you are everything you know is not yourself, and you, the knower, that's it, with nothing to know prior to the first knowing. And the first knowing is I exist. Without knowing you exist, you couldn't know anything.
When you say something appears for a time,
This world, the illusion, John,
but
as body form.
it's really not for a time, because a time doesn't really exist.
Well, the body form. You consider yourself, you're born, I have a lifespan, I die. This is time. Time is born, you are not. This body is, because of identification, flowed along with in the quote, river of time. In reality, it's just a lump of goo, but you identify with it. Oh, I'm born, so I must die. When you know yourself in a real sense, whether the body is there or not, who cares? Even the sense of presence, whether it's there or not, who cares? And the presence, obviously, when you're identified with the sense of presence, you know that birth and death are irrelevant. You know that body is irrelevant. Therefore, you know the world is irrelevant. Therefore, you are not concerned. And by identifying with the sense of presence, you will know oh, even the subtle, just I is known. The knower of this, whether the sense of presence is here or not, felt or not, you are. And then that's it. Then you stop all the philosophizing and saying how you feel about that or how you did this or what kind of spiritual knowledge you have or experiences won't make any difference anymore. Because you know you that's it. The conviction. Oh, so that I am that.
So then thought only applies to
No thought. Well, where's thought?
it's in to the bubble illusion it applies, but
Well, I mean, like right now, I can think, after this little talk here, I could go and get a Reese's peanut butter cup. I would enjoy a Reese's peanut butter cup. But that's, you see, this is not the thought process of, oh, my job, I have to go in, I've got so much work to do, how am I going to get all this work done, this and that. This is not a, it seems appearing and disappearing. Here we are on this screen. This screen folds. Go watch some TV. Okay, time for sleep. Okay, new scene. Okay, time to work up, wake up, go to work tomorrow. New scene. Oh, dealing with customer. Okay, a new customer pops up. A new scene. And it's just there, I can't explain how the reality is just scenes appearing and disappearing before you. You're not like right now in this. I can see on the screen, hey, hello, John. But there's no sense of that here. It's just speaking and listening and speaking and listening. And the knowing that it's even as all these little boxes are appearing, people speaking, without the boxes, there's just this formless speaking. You could say if I was identified with a body that all this speaking could be inside this little area here. Again, how do you reference this? Dream. We could be dreaming right now. And I wake up tomorrow morning. Oh, wow, I just had a dream that we had Tuesday talk. And then knowing again, oh, how could all these people, how could Keith be asking these questions and interacting if it was all me? I was dreaming the whole Tuesday talk. And when you know yourself in a real sense, it's the same. It'll be exactly the same. And that's with everything, wherever you go. Because you know, body is moving about, scenes are changing, but every scene is just a dream appearing, a new scene. I don't know, like,
Spontaneous,
even trying to remember how it was of trying to have a continuous time, like my life, and oh, I'm going to do this and this. Even plotting on calendar. Okay, Saturday, I'm going to do this painting with friends. That's an activity. It's a certain time. I have to be there. And it's an activity that I have kind of pre-scheduled. But that'll be just here. You know, it's just going to be scenes, scenes, scenes. Oh, here I am at that painting with friends. Now I'm painting. And the similar thing would be if you asked some basketball star or some football star, when you're in the zone, how do you experience time when you're in that zone? When you're going to the basket and all of a sudden you boom, you dunk that basket. How do you experience time? What are your next steps? And it's the same. It'll be like, okay, I want to make this basket, but it just flows. It's just a, here I am at the basket. I'm in the zone. I'm not thinking about where my feet are or how I'm going to do that. It's just a flow. I'm in the zone. Same with tennis. Same with any kind of sports thing. The race car driver in the zone. Yes, paying attention. Yes, fully focused. But not concentrating on the focusing. Concentrating on the focusing, you wipe out.
So you can be in the zone all the time, right?
Well, yeah, this is an example. Again, don't take all the words literally, but you're in the zone because you're just flowing. The life is just flowing through you. You're not taking any doership. And you're not saying, oh, I don't want this or I do want that. Or oh my God, this is going to happen. Or now I will say, if I wake up in the morning and it's pouring down rain outside, I'm like, ugh, have to go out in the rain. That sucks. But it's just grab an umbrella, go out. You go. So this kind of thought of, oh, it's raining and it sucks is a brief bump. And
Smooth.
it appears on your presence. You're not so fully identified with it.
It's like water off a duck.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say this, but well, and also just like you're not going to be frozen and paralyzed and say, oh man, if I go out in the rain, what if I have an accident in the rain? Plus, I'm going to get wet and this and that. I better just call in sick. Because that's the mentation. That's getting caught up. That's the suffering. Because then there's a whole story being formed where there need not be. Just like if you have your vacation before your vacation, and you've already experienced your vacation, and then when you're experiencing it in real time, you're comparing it to the illusory experience that never actually occurred, and you're having a terrible time on vacation because it doesn't match your expectation of when you were experiencing your vacation in your like thought.
Why not be on vacation all the time?
No. I'm saying, in other words, you're,
I mean,
let's say next week I'm
free of it.
going on a cruise, and I start every night I dream about cruise. I'm thinking about the cruise and this and that. Oh, won't it be nice and this? And then I get to the cruise and it's nothing like what I imagined it to be. And therefore, now I'm complaining because this pleasure pain principle has come in where I was so identified with a body form that I created an illusory world before I actually experienced anything, and then judge the experience based on the creation rather than the reality.
Yes. So why not be free all the time of the mentation?
If there's no you, then all this is gone. That's the natural state when you're not creating all this
Right,
chaos
right.
from nothing. That's why Maharaj says you're disturbing the peace.
And at that point, like yesterday, I was feeling so content. I don't know.
Well,
Was
and even content, you just brush it aside. Because if I can feel content, I can feel disturbed. A feeling is a feeling, and I am not concerned.
Yes, that's a descriptive word of content. I don't know. It's just I could use other words too. Oneness was the one word that kept popping up, was it felt like oneness.
And why words? Stay prior to words. And just stay with yourself. Just be with you always.
And actually, I can kind of feel it now. It's just yesterday was so strong. It seems like I can, it's becoming easier to turn away from the
Yeah.
limited mind and just turn, become present. So.
Of course, don't say become. You're
Yeah.
no longer becoming or trying to become illusion. You're
Just
remaining with yourself as self.
be.
It's reverse when you say, oh, I can become presence more and more. No,
Yeah.
it's that you are getting caught in the illusion less and less. And that's why Maharaj says, slowly, silently, permanently, you're erasing the illusory concepts. But the fire was there all the time. You were just covering the fire with the ash of illusory concepts. As the illusory concepts are no more, the fire is burning brightly. But the fire didn't burn more or less due to the concepts. Fire is the constant. All the illusory concepts, whether they're heavy or is fading away, that's what's changing. That's why I've explained this before. When I was in the ashram and I had the sudden experience of exploding into the ashram, like I was expanding. But it was understood then that the expansion was because of the reduction of the limited body. And it was from the position of mind. Mind feels like it's expanding, but the truth is, illusion is being dissolved.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Well, that's why one of the last things that happens is you're going to identify of, ooh, I don't like this. There's nothing there. It's very scary. I don't want to go to that point where there's nothing because that, what is that? But then there's an understanding that this nothing is known. This nothing has appeared on the sense of presence. The sense of nothing is because there's still something there. Last little remnants of I exist as something. But there are a lot of people, you hear them all the time. Oh, I was meditating and then there was nothing. Like, that's not nice. I don't like that. Maybe other meditators like that nothing state, but I don't like the nothing state. But the experiencer is still there. And no experiencer, no experience. That's the final. No witness, no witnesser.